All right. Here we are. First call, GSAMP, August 2023. Wow, I'm trying to find myself in time here. August 2023, first call. We started talking about character structures last month. Anyone listening on YouTube, I didn't post these videos because I was showing material from a book and I just don't want to take any chances with copyright issues. But this month we're back on offering the presentation part of the call to you, dear YouTube follower. And we have been going into character structures. If you've never heard that term before, it refers to some very profound work that was done by one of Freud's students, William Reich, who, as he was observing many different people through psychotherapy, started realizing that, well, first of all, he realized that the therapy being offered was too much in the mind. It's like kind of like sit back in a chair and talk about stuff, and he wanted to bring it back into the body. But what he noticed is that people with that have gone through similar types of traumas have similar types of body structures and have similar ways that they create their defense structures with which they interact not only within themselves, but with others and with society at large. What he also noticed is that he could bring it back down to the basic child-parent interaction that happened when the person was young and the age at which the main trauma was kind of like, permanently kind of stamped into the body. And he came up with five character structures. And each of these character structures have completely different body types, different ways they react to energies, different ways they go about life, different belief systems, different views of life. Like it's just an on and on and on. But with, 20, 30 years of clinical work, he ended up being able to bring it down to five main character types. Character structures, he calls them. And this work has been continued by other very grounded body psychotherapists. Alexander Lowen, probably the biggest name in that field. He's given the last 30 years of his life to it. And someone like Barbara Ann Brennan, whose work I'm working with when I'm talking to you about this, what she did was she brought in the whole understanding the human energy field of the person and how the energy between one character structure and another, how they're using their energy in the world. And she, to the people that are in the program, you have been sent a chapter from the first book and from the second book that talks about character structures. And in the second chapter I sent you earlier this week, she had someone draw amazing drawings showing all the energy flow and how someone with a specific character structure uses their energy field, where their usual traumas are, which chakras are open, which ones are closed, which ones are overprojecting, which ones are going deep inside. Like it's incredible work. To those in the program, you all please remember as well that the call 2 weeks ago was all about going super deep into feeling how you allow energy to metabolize and work through your energy centers so that you can start having a better idea. Okay, that's where I let it flow more. That's where I don't let it flow as much. That's where I block it. That's where I over-exaggerate it, et cetera, so that when you're studying these chapters, it's easier to find yourself. Okay, so that said, I'm going to present a little synopsis of each of the character structures without, I could do 1 hour on each of them, which I'm not going to do, but I want to present to you. I want to tell you something before that's even more important. This is not about like, oh, I have this character structure. This is me. And it's because of how my mom was with me when I was a kid. No. Our character structures come from our belief systems, and our belief systems come from way before our present incarnation, which is a little bit weird to think about. But your belief system, the nature of your belief system and its configuration and what it looks like is actually held in the seventh layer of your aura, which is the golden cocoon around you that ideally would be your deep connection with the divine mind, with the universal mind. What makes it hard for us to be connected to the universal mind, where we understand that we're one with everything and everything's fine and everything is love and everything is, you know, all that stuff, is the belief system in it that taints our ability to fully receive that and bring it down all the way into our heart and the fourth level, from which we interact with people, from which we enter into relationships with people, into not just with people, but how we enter into relationship with ourselves, with our thoughts, with our emotions, with other people, with societies, with entire cultures and nations. So it's huge to start understanding that. And if we summarize a character structure, it is what you have, based on what you came in with, it is how you structured your energy field in order to be able to survive. The character structure is fear-based, right? If we're talking about survival, we're talking about fear. So they each have a specific way they try to calm down the fear and feel safe. So, okay. Just remember, you don't need to go into taking notes because you've got two incredible chapters that that are what I'm summarizing right now. But you can jot notes if you want to. The first character structure is the schizoid character structure. These names are not Freudian. These names are not, you'll notice names you recognize like psychopathic, masochistic. It's not about anything else than bioenergetics and body-centered psychotherapy and the character structures that were defined by William Reich. So the first one is schizoid. And the schizoid character structure comes from a person that's had existential terror as the main issue that they're dealing with. They felt terrorized very young, often during childbirth or within the first couple of weeks after being born. They went through feeling that they were in a hostile environment and they did not develop the ability to feel emotionally safe. So they have this whole defense structure that's about kind of like, they know they are one with God essence, but they have no way of knowing that they're an individuated God essence as well. They tend to kind of like float out over there a little bit out of their body because it feels super unsafe being in their body. They suffer from existential terror. That's mine. Like I worked through a lot of that one. But what's interesting is that the past life material of people that have a predominantly schizoid structure, they've suffered from the core wounding of rejection, right? They feel a hostile world and it led to them rejecting their own individual essence, is they've often had past lives where there was a lot of trauma to the physical body, such as being tortured, such as being burned to the stake. So like these forms of trauma in the body, that what you try to do is leave the body. You try to get the out of there as fast as you can. So that's why they tend to pull away. Like most of the time, the torture that they went through was related to their spiritual beliefs. This is super interesting. The schizoid in its tendency to try to pull itself up tends to have super developed upper bodies, super developed ability to connect with energies and with source and stuff like that. What they're lacking is the ability to connect deep into their physical body, into their lower bodies. They don't feel safe in a body. So that's the main issue in past life stuff that they're going through. Their main energy pattern to work with all that, I was talking about that a bit last time, but I'm going to repeat it because I didn't put these calls in public mode, is they're trying to hold it all together. These people look like they've got their shit together like crazy, even though within themselves, deep inside, they're dealing with existential terror. They feel split. They feel disconnected. But because of that disconnection, it's like feeling like every part of you is disconnected. So you try to hold it all together. Hold it all together. That's their main energy pattern. The And each of the character structures has a personal task, the healing that they've come to do within themselves so that they can bring in their soul work into this world. The personal task of the schizoid is to face their inner terror and their rage and to bring back all these hyper creative parts of them together, even though they fear that if they bring them all together, it's going to explode. It's going to explode and maybe it'll break the world. Like, I've heard myself say things like that in my life when I was younger. And it's like, you know, 25 years later, I'm reading about these structures and I'm like, oh my God, I thought this was just my thing, you know? But they're so afraid of what's going to happen if I bring it all back together. Whatever rage I've been holding in me is going to. So, and she has this beautiful way of talking about it in Barbara Ann Brennan's books. She talks about the inner landscape of each of the characters. And the schizoid's inner landscape looks like a castle. And each room is incredibly beautifully decorated and a source of immense creativity in a bunch of different fields. But there's no doors between. There's no hallways. There's no way to bring all these creative rooms together into a coherent expression. So that's why, like, their job is to, you know, they've been holding it all together. Now they need to bring it all back together. They need to create the hallways. They need to create the connections. They need to bring all the parts of them back together so that in their world task and their soul task, they can bring into the world, like, they can share with the world, they can share with the mundane world, the high, high, high spiritual levels that they can attain and achieve because they've been floating up there for a long time. So their job, once they've healed their personal task of bringing it all back together, is to teach that into the world, is to bring that into the world, to bring that expansive spirituality through a multiple of creative means. You know, like if I just use me as an example, like I do it through, I'm using my intellect, you know, I'm using deep spirituality, I'm using embodied energy, I'm using energy healing, I'm using all these things that before were completely separate. I would draw, I would sing, I would go to university, I would write poetry, but all of it was separated into separate rooms that never communicated together. So it's like you bring it all together for an expression of deep spirituality in the world. So that's the schizoid. By the way, most of us have a little bit of the schizoid. And if anyone did the exercise from the first chapter I sent, she even kind of offers you, try to see like what percentage of each of these structures do you have? Because generally speaking, we're almost never just one. But there's some that we recognize more than others. So, okay, that's my representation of my explanation of the schizoid. The next one, the next character structure is the oral character structure. The name already says a lot. The main issue the oral character suffers with is nurturance. They don't feel they got enough nurturing. They often had a parent that had to disconnect from them and didn't breastfeed them enough or, you know, wasn't available for deep nurturing. So they got some, but then it was taken away too quickly. So they're trying to plug into people and suck energy into them all the time. They live in a world where their essence isn't enough. They live in a world where they need to go and grab it from other people. So the lives that they tend to have gone through are lives where there was a lot of lack, such as starvation, famine, having to make horrible decisions like, who do I give enough food? Which of my children do I give enough food to for them to survive because we don't have enough for everyone? Like these kind of, these kind of past lives. People that sort of went to Auschwitz, like people like that. It's like these kind of patterns where lack is the core thing you're going through and you don't feel like you can sustain energy enough yourself. The main energy pattern that they do, the first one was hold it all together. This one is all about hold on. Hold on to anything you get your hands on. So they end up being people that they just like take, 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 and they almost never give. You know, and they're not doing it on purpose. This is not a conscious thing. This is not like, I'm just going to take things from people and not care about how it makes them feel. There, it's a defense structure. It is unconscious. It is reactive, right? Please remember this for all of them. Like, no one is doing this on purpose. No one chooses to act like this. It's how your subconscious mind decided that you would survive in this world. The inner landscape, the personal and world task of the oral character, the personal task is to come to understand that they are enough. They are able to sustain themselves. They don't need to plug into people all the time. It's like transcending the grabbing by learning to give. And the only way you can give is if you think you have something in you to give. So that's like their personal task in their lives, is to really, you know, reconnect to their essence and understand that they are enough, and that not only are they enough, but they can give. So that's like the big, big theme that they need to go through, the personal healing they need to go through, so that they can actually come into the soul task, what they came to bring into the world. And what the oral character came to bring into the world as a soul, once it has reconnected to their essence and understands that it is overflowing all the time, is they become some of the most amazing teachers. If you think about what is a teacher? A teacher is flowing their energy and their knowledge, right? They're just offering it. And the beauty of what they can do is that they can bring deep, deep love. You know, like they're the teachers that have this like super deep, deep passion for what they teach. And they can just do it all day long. And there's like, you know, an abundance of energy and love and passion for them to teach arts or sciences or whatever it is. So, you know, their world task is of being overflowing that love through teaching. So that's our oral. And the inner landscape of the oral, beautiful way she has of saying it, is a fine musical instrument that needs to be fine-tuned in order to be able to compose its unique melodies and harmonies that only it can bring into the world. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Right? So that's our oral character. He, she suffered from the wound of abandonment, the core wound of abandonment. They felt abandoned. So schizoid rejection, oral abandonment. And next character structure, psychopathic, also called displaced. Do not mix this up with the psychopathic person. We're not talking about someone with no empathy and sociopath, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. They would almost need to come up with different names, you know, because it's so easy to mix them up with the other stuff. But the psychopathic has gone through the core wound of betrayal. And the main issue that they struggle with is trust. Can I trust? And they've had a series of past lives where they were like warriors, where they fought the just cause, where, you know, they sacrificed themselves for the good and for nobility and for this and for that. And somewhere down the line, the people that they were fighting for ended up betraying them. I think Jeanne d'Arc is a great example of that, actually, in history. By having been betrayed more than one life by those that they trusted, they learn to not trust anyone, and they learn to consider that life is a battleground. Life is a war, and it's always on. You know, in the world, they look like aggressive go-getter people. But what's going on deeper in them is that there is a war, and it never ends. And the war that they are fighting is for their goodness to be recognized. So for their nobility and their just cause and, you know, the truth that they wanted to represent, that it be recognized. Because the minute that someone doesn't agree with what they're saying, automatically it leads to their fear that they are evil. Man, if you look at someone and understand that about them when they're being aggressive with you, that they're trying to wrestle with this deep fear and self-hatred that they might be an evil being and they just want to defend their goodness, hopefully it would have an effect on how you're, you know, receiving and reacting to their aggression. Because they're in a battle. Unfortunately, that battle's over, but they don't know it is. They don't know it is, and they're still fighting it. The main energy pattern that the psychopathic structure has is holding up. They hold all the energy up. They bring it all in and they hold it up. And when they feel attacked, they push it out onto you. And they do it like this. It goes up and into you. Like, they're very mental when you have an argument with them. They're like, their eyes lock in and they need to make you wrong so that they're right. But they hold up all the energy. When you see the energy fields of these people, the top upper part is super developed and super imposing. How do you say that? Imposing. And the lower part is very weak. They're not connected to their deep desires. They're too busy fighting to not be seen as someone evil. And they don't realize that they end up looking evil doing that. But that's another story. The personal task of the psychopathic structure, which has gone through the wound of betrayal, is to surrender to the goodness within themselves. To realize that even if they make a mistake, it doesn't mean they're evil. That if they do something wrong, it doesn't mean they're bad. So it's like that need to surrender without feeling that it means you're being defeated. It's a huge thing for them. It's very, very hard for them to do that. So to surrender to, I am good. Doesn't matter what I do. And in that process, in order for them to recognize their own inner goodness and no longer be in this war, they need to recognize the inner goodness of the other person. They need to recognize that there's an essence in someone else. They're so busy trying to defend their own essence. They're so busy trying to defend that they have a good essence that they deny other people's essence. So that's their personal task. Their healing task is of understanding, whoa, let me surrender. Let me relax. Let me stop thinking there's bad guys and I'm the good guy everywhere. And let me actually see every human being as a divine being that is good. Not an easy task when you're like a warlord, okay? And as they embody that personal healing task, they can come into their world task, their soul level task, and they have, it's a beautiful one. Like, their job is to help others have the courage to uphold their truth, to be honest, no matter what. Wow. Wow. You know, to work for an organization that fights for the good of everyone, that fights for the good of every single being on earth, animal, plant, rock, human, whatever. Like, there's no more good guy, bad guy. There's fighting the noble cause so that everyone is recognized as in their inherent goodness. So what else about good cause? Work in teams of equals that support the good. Yeah, the way it's often described is that in their past lives, they never transitioned from being a warrior to being a king. You know, the warrior fights battles and for its own nobility. The king has learned to not be focused only on what he needs. The king is focused on the whole population, right? Whatever you call it, medieval terms for that. All right, and what am I missing here? The inner landscape of the psychopathic structure is one of fantasy and adventure and honor and, you know, defending the truth and noble values. And we're thinking like the Knights of the Round Table and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, they're here to go to war for the right things. And it's my partner has tendencies like that. And I have never seen anyone that has a dream space like his. It's like battling things, and it's incredible. I'm like, wake up in the morning, I'm like, really, all that in one night? Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, fourth character structure, the masochistic character structure. So The masochistic character structure is someone that went through humiliation and through being deeply invaded in their own right to have their own ways of seeing things. This gets interesting. Past life, the main issue that they deal with is they were controlled and invaded. People that carry this character structure had past lives in which they felt trapped, jailed, imprisoned, slavery, and they weren't allowed to express or exert themselves the way they wanted to. So they've had lives in which they were deeply humiliated, controlled, and not allowed to be themselves. So, you know, we could talk about slavery stuff for this, but this could also be someone that grew up in an environment where, you know, they had to be the way they were told they had to be. You know, like I think a lot of royalty went through stuff like that. It's like, or whatever, like a woman in a tribe that wants to be a warrior. And it's like, no, men are warriors. Men are warriors. You're not, you're a woman. You have to be this, you know? So it's like this deep humiliation of, I'm not allowed to be myself. The main energy pattern that they're in is that they hold in. They hold everything in because they can't let it out. They're not allowed to express themselves. It leads to being shot down. It leads to being hurt. It leads to being humiliated. So they hold everything in with a deep brewing resentment. They have very interesting energy dynamics when you talk with them. They try to pull you in, and then everything you say, they're like, no, no, no. Like, so it's like this weird push-pull energy field that's very hard to be around. They want your advice, but they want it so they can push you away. They pull you in, they entangle you in their energy so they can push you away. So this weird push and pull effect that's very hard to deal with when you're dealing with someone that goes through this. The personal healing task that they are here to do, like at the human level, is to learn to express themselves no matter how it's received. So they need to be able to just express themselves whenever they need to and however they need to, and not be told by someone, that's not appropriate, that's not okay. So they need to face that deep fear. And even if it means freeing up aggression and exploding out, because that's the thing, you're holding things in, it's about to blow. It's just waiting for an opportunity to blow. Once they have actually healed that at the personal level, they can come into their world soul level task. And this gets interesting, because the masochistic character structure, once healed, are the most deeply loving, caring, compassionate people. They're the caretakers by par excellence that are not codependently doing it. It's done out of love and service. Incredible negotiators that will help to make sure that everyone's needs are heard and understood, and that everyone gets to speak the way they need to speak. Yes, give love and understanding. Their inner landscape, as described by Barbara Ann Brennan, is a delicate, intricate design of like lattice lacework with silver and gold, absolutely unique. No one has the exact same beautiful, intricate design that they have. And that's literally how they are as well. Like their intricate, beautiful design of how they're able to love and bring love and caring and compassion into the world is super, super unique. Big teddy bears, but like, think about a big teddy bear with an incredibly angelic, beautiful shape within them of a deep, deep essence. And by being around them, it helps you kind of like feel your own deep inner beauty and your own deep ability for compassion. And last but not least, drum roll, the rigid character structure. The rigid character structure went through a form of injustice. That is the main, that's the core wound that they hold, the wound of injustice. Their main issue is one of authenticity. They often grew up in an environment where look good make sure everyone looks good in the family. So don't feel and don't express to anyone else anything wrong. Disconnect from your feelings so that you can uphold the image of our family, of our unit, of our whatever. So they suffer with issues of authenticity. In order to be authentic, you need to let everything flow out of you. But they were told that that's not okay to do from a very young age. And also their past lives. Here we're walking into the past lives of a lot of, like a lot of royalty, a lot of people that had to look a certain way and always, you know, look perfect and pristine and, you know, like, there's another word I'm looking for. You know, like they have to keep up with the appearances at all times. That they are calm, that they are, you know, absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. They never blow up. They never have emotions. They never get angry. They never break anything. They never go out without brushing their teeth, you know? So they're stuck in a world of appearances that didn't never allow them to be themselves. The main energy pattern that they go into is they hold everything away. They hold everything away from themselves. Because if you get too close to them, they might actually start feeling. If you get too close to them, you might actually feel their core and any emotions in them that they have suppressed deep, deep, deep into themselves. And it's tricky working with people like that because on the outside, they really do look like everything's fine. They're the kind of people that they're like, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And you're kind of like, are you aware that your kid's dying of a drug overdose? No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, like, do you see what's going on? No, everything's fine. And you're like, okay, they have suppressed themselves so deeply that all they can see is everything's fine. Everything's fine. The personal and world task, the personal task of the rigid character structure is to actually be able to feel their feelings. It's to actually be able to feel their core because they have disconnected from their core. Not only did they need to suppress how they felt, but in the process, they also disconnected from feeling the divine being that they are. So it was like a double disconnect. So their personal task, what they need to do in this world is they need to come back to knowing their authentic self, their authentic feelings, and connecting to the divine being that they are. Once they have accomplished this, they can move into their world task, their soul level task, which is to inspire others with deep passion for life. Like with once they've reconnected to their core and to their divine essence, they are the adventurers par excellence. You know, they live in a world where we are here to create new organizations. We're here to create new worlds. They are full of passion. They are full of energy. They help through leadership. They help people learn to deeply enjoy life. And their inner landscape looks like something full of adventures, of off to this new adventure, off to conquer this new land, off to save the damsel in distress. Like they're just explosive, yummy people to be around once they've reconnected. So I don't know if you're noticing a common theme here. Every single one of these character structures have been built around the fact that it wasn't safe to stay connected to their core. And one way or another. And that's the meditation I want to create for us tonight. One in which we're going to, instead of trying to work on what each of these structures need, because they all have a way of dealing with energy flows. It's interesting. Just the same way we had these five ways they do. Either they hold it all together. They hold on. They hold up. They hold in or they hold out. There's also five ways that their energies interact with others. They either push or they pull or they stop or they withdraw or they deny, I think. Okay, so they push, pull, stop, allow, or withdraw. Push is like, pull is like, give, give, give. Stop is like, I'm not even there anymore. Allah was like, I'm just open, let all that stuff just invade me. Or withdraw, it's like, leave. So all of this, all of these five ways of dealing with that are all related to not being deeply connected to the core energy in us. So to those that are part of the call of the mentorship program, please go read these two chapters. It's incredibly valuable. The drawings are incredible to see how the dynamics happen. And she asks you a lot of questions. When you're dealing with a character structure like that, what do? Do you push? Do you pull? Do you withdraw? Do you allow? And you start seeing how, yeah, that's what I do when that happens. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help. If you react to someone's reactive structure, it just creates more reaction. And beyond that, all it does is justify their belief system. If a psychopathic is coming at you with, you know, a belief system that the world is a dangerous place and I need to argue and fight with everything, and they come at you and they push their energy on you and you fight back, guess what? You just proved their point. You just proved their belief, right? We as spiritual beings, we as people that want to help heal the world, our job is to actually not react to the reactive structures. Not react. Go into response mode. How do we do that? You can't do that with someone else as long as you don't know how to do that within yourself when you go into your reactive defense structure. So this program is always about this. We're always working on learning to go into response mode, the ability to respond, being responsible for our energies. We learn this by bringing presence into the reactions. And how do we bring presence? By grounding deep into ourselves, grounding deep into the core of the earth, and then grounding deep into the core star deep within us. From there, we can understand and feel how we can respond to others because we have become responsive to ourselves. So that's what we're doing tonight. I'm going to do the meditation. I just basically summed up the meditation, but, as I said, please look into character structures. Get really good at telling which one you have, because then easy peasy, you know, you're like, oh, I'm there. I'm doing that thing again. Oh, okay. Okay. Coming in. Mini pause. If you need to go bathroom, drink water, whatever you need to do, get comfy. Sit or lay down, up to you. If you know you're able to not fall asleep when you're brought into a 1 hour long process. Okay. If you're not sure if you can't, it can't be 1 hour because I want to give us at least half an hour to talk. So 45 minute process we're going to go into. All right, get ready, and we'll start in a couple of minutes. To you watching this on YouTube, look into the description, the comment section below, and find out how you can join us.